in den Herrn, seitdem ich mein Leben ihm gab. Er nahm mir die Fesseln der Sünden und gab mir ein schneeweißes Kleid. Nun speich ich vom himmlischen Papa und freue mich in ihm alle Zeit. Die Fenster des Himmels sind offen, der Segen strömt mächtig heran. Sich freut in dem Herrn, seitdem ich mein Leben ihm gab. Er nahm mir die Lumpen der Sünde und gab mir ein schneeweißes Kleid.
Du bist würdig, du bist würdig, du bist würdig, o Herr, hinzunehmen Preis und Ehre, Ruhm und Anbetung. Du bist würdig, o Herr. Glory, glory, halleluja. Glory, glory, halleluja. Glory, glory, halleluja. Deine Wahrheit steigt voran.
Amen. Ihr mögt euch sitzen.
You may be seated.
Auch heute
also today I'm greeting all of you and I welcome you from near and far. And in the same way we greet from this place all our brothers and sisters all over the world, wherever they are hearing and wherever they are seeing. A special email we received from Morocco. There, last night they were tuning in, and they are writing, "We cannot come, but we can participate in the meetings." The brethren from Cape Town, the brethren from Johannesburg, all are informing us and are saying, "We were listening, and God spoke to us and blessed us." Just thanks be to the Lord that we have these possibilities. It was also laid in such a way that we can print in the various languages at this place, be it the sermons of Brother Branham or what we are publishing on Bible subjects and literature, that everything is being summarized now in the German, Russian language, all the various languages, now also in the French and Spanish language. It's being printed now so that the whole world can march in lockstep, so that all are receiving the same food, the same teaching, that all are really are brought into agreement with the Word, and that by this we are going out to meet the Bridegroom, being prepared until we come from believing unto seeing. To be announced would be, I was asked to do so, to be announced that an Israel trip was planned from the 17th to the 17th of May. But as I said already in Zurich, I said also today, we only have about 18 or 19 registrations, and this is not enough for a trip to Israel. The price would just be too high. And so We will probably go next year. If there is a next year, we'll make a trip. You can already plan for it. And you can start to save some money so that you have what is necessary. And the word which we heard in the word of introduction is so tremendous about this, something must still be said. And I hope really that we are not waiting that somebody comes here with a loud voice and demonstrating power. No, the power is in the Word. The Spirit of God was hovering upon the face of the deep, and God spoke. And because the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep, therefore that what God spoke could take place. The same it is now. The Spirit of God is hovering over us. God is present. The Word is spoken, and the Spirit of God takes care of that it becomes reality with all of us by His grace. But listen now, once again, listen closely. John 8, verse 48. Is that that scripture? No. John 12. It was John 12. Of course. John 12. Verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him who sent me." And then, "And he that seeth me, seeth him who sent me." And then, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Not abide in darkness. In John chapter 3, we read the testimony of John the Baptist. John 3, verse 33 and 34. "He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true." He that has received his testimony. Here in chapter 12, we were reading, let us say it once again. "He that believeth on me," does not believeth not on me, but on him who sent me. That's how it was with all the prophets. Whoever received them received the Lord. That's how it is written. And that's how it was, and that's how it remains. Also here, once again, verse 33 in John 3. "He that has received his testimony has set to his seal, has confirmed that God is true." Also this we can take to heart now. Brothers and sisters, I can nothing for it, but it is still written in Isaiah chapter 2, "Teaching shall go forth from Jerusalem, and the word of the Lord from Mount Zion." And we are living in a time period where teaching is the most necessary, because it's also written, "They shall all be taught by God." A standard teaching from God can only happen there where His Word alone, really only His Word alone, is being proclaimed. And as a remark, at my door was lying a letter, "Dear Brother Frank," and here the question is about Matthew 12, where it is written that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And the question is whether this was like this or whether it was not like this. Let me very humbly answer here. It is written as. That's enough, as. What do I want more? I don't need more than the Holy Scripture tells me. Must I make a comment on it? No. I must read all the other scriptures which deal with the same subject and which illuminate the same subject. And it were, of course, the scribes, not the apostles, and not the Lord, who said, read it, Matthew 27. Here it were the scribes who accused our Lord and who made the statement in Matthew 27, verse 63, saying, Sir, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. This our Lord never said. He always said, on the third day. Not a single time he said after 3 days. This the scribes said, who accused our Lord as a deceiver. They made the problem. And this remained until this day. Brothers and sisters, don't get involved in such things. They are not of God. The same is with the Sabbath. Now just to touch this subject now, with our Lord and his resurrection. Here we have three verses which express it very clearly. And it was Paul who said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, here we read verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This is enough for us, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. More we don't need. I don't need a man who comes to me and argues about how long it took. If it is written, on the third day, he rose, then we believe that he rose on the third day. Finished. The same it is, brothers and sisters, with the law, and also especially with the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given to the people of Israel from God, by God, as a sign of the covenant. Forever it was given to them on their way, but not to the New Testament church. And in the Old Testament, it was really so strict that a young man who was collecting wood on the Sabbath, that he was killed upon the command of the Lord. That's how strict it was with the Sabbath, because the Lord God sanctified and blessed the seventh day. You can all read it according. What is it? Numbers 31. The Lord God appointed the Sabbath. No, it is Exodus 31. Exodus 31. Here, the Lord God appointed the Sabbath for the people of Israel, for a sign of the covenant. You can all read it. Exodus 31, from verse 12 to the end. I just read the last part, namely 16 and 17 from Exodus 31. Wherefore, the children of Israel, not the church, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And then, as I already said, in Numbers 15, a young man had to die because he was collecting wood on the Sabbath. So strict it was. But here's the point now. He did it deliberately. There was no necessity to do so. He did it on purpose. And this is also written. One must really read the Holy Scripture always precisely. Numbers, chapter 15, from verse 30. But the person that doeth aught deliberately, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same blasphemes the Lord. Go to Hebrews 4. Go to Hebrews 10. He who sins willfully, he who does something with a purpose, deliberately acting against the word of God, this is a blasphemer of the Lord. So it is not only about the deed, but it was done willfully. And such a person is a blasphemer. And that person shall be cut off from among the people. Verse 31. Because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, that person shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. And only then we have from verse 32 the description. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in custody, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And now comes the ordinance in verse 35. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. Once again, willfully. There was no necessity. It didn't have to be like this. He did it deliberately. And he who sins willfully, he who connects a purpose to it, he blasphemes God. And he commits the sin which cannot be forgiven. And this is also Hebrews chapter 4. If, even after the illumination, after he tasted the gift of the Holy Spirit, and after receiving eternal life, and if he sins willfully, what then? Brothers and sisters, may the fear of God come upon all of us. We have said it in the Old New Testament. We were told about it. What is about on the Sabbath? Namely, Hebrews 4. chapter 9, that to Israel there is a Sabbath rest to the people of God. Not a rest on the Sabbath, but a Sabbath rest. Also there, one must read God's word properly, not with one's own thoughts in the head, but with revelation in the heart, what God really says. In the same way we know, according to Isaiah 66, verse 22 and 23, in the millennium, the Sabbath will be celebrated again. And with Israel, the Sabbath is valid now and forever. There is a divine order in which we have to submit. And then we leave all the people in peace. And we thank God that He received us, that He revealed Himself to us, and that He speaks to us. And I say it very honestly, we didn't bring with us a single doctrine which we brought ourselves. We were open before God. I've said it here before. When I, 1955, witnessed the ministry of Brother Branham, it was not in me, oh, this gift you also would like to have. You also want to have the gift of healing, the gift to do miracles. No, not at all. I was not thinking about it. Only one thought was in me. It was so strong in me. What does this man teach and believe? What does this man teach and believe? For I see that God is with him. And that's what's all about. That's what's all about. Not wanting to have a ministry which another servant of God has, but coming into the spiritual pleasure of what God has connected with such a ministry. And if we look into the Old Testament, then all who believed the prophet, they had part in that what God has done. The same it is with us in this time. We come briefly back to Romans chapter 8. I have it open here. Yesterday, we were speaking about that with God, everything has happened. Not only will happen, but it is finished. It is finished. The church is redeemed. We are reconciled with God. We have received eternal life, and we will live eternally as sure as God promised it. The same we have also here in Romans 8, we were reading, those whom He did predestinate, them He also justified. But then comes the wonderful thing. In verse 33, in Romans 8, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Before, the election is emphasized, the predestination is emphasized, and what God decided remains forever. No man can change something, forever not. So, the predestination was emphasized. And Brother Branham emphasized nothing more than that. I almost said he overemphasized it. I was listening to sermons where Brother Branham very clearly said, as our Lord said also, no one can come to me except the Father draws him first. And all who are drawn, they are coming. And then Brother Branham said, there are people who are just not being drawn and who cannot come. And this hurts. This one honestly must say, this hurts. Because the grace of God appeared to all men. For God so much loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who believe on him should not perish, but have eternal life. But already in Isaiah 53, verse 1, it says, the prophet says, who has believed our message, and to whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? And to whom God gives grace, to him the arm of the Lord will be revealed. To him God speaks. And also this we emphasized many times from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him. One can speak day and night to him. It's impossible. The spiritual mind must be in us and to understand what God says. So, who wants to accuse? We know, according to Revelation 12, when the male child is being raptured, then happens the big battle in the air. And then Satan, the accuser of the brethren, will be cast down. And we go up to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But here's the point. All who place themselves into the ministry of the accuser of the brethren, they will not be taken up. They remain already down before. Only holiness and purity will enter there. And we must once for all acknowledge this now, that we are washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified in the word of truth. And therefore, it's also written here, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which there is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Neither high nor deep things, neither things present nor things to come, whatever it might be, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which there is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. As a father who has sons and daughters on the earth in the natural can never deny his sons and daughters because they came forth from him. So God cannot deny his sons and daughters. And the Lord says, even you would become unfaithful, I remain faithful, for I cannot deny myself. God is and remains faithful. So nothing can separate us from the love of God, which there is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Brothers and sisters, whether it fits here now or not, you probably heard about it, that I was very sad yesterday. Sad about things which take their course in this city, in this country. And I say it here, really, only as a prayer request. And then I will read a couple of scriptures to it. You can all remember that I 4 weeks ago, at this place, I was reading 17 messages which the Lord has given us in the most blessed time, in the 70s. By His grace, He has given them to us. We all heard about it. We all know that the enemy made an attack. Details must not be mentioned, nor be made known here. But so much we all understood that it was the enemy who destroys and not God. Even all the ministries which the Lord has set into the church are serving only for the edification of the church. And I say now before the Lord God, what really makes me very sad is that brother from Arizona, whom I invited as the first one, 1966, I invited him to come to Europe and to bear witness of that, to testify of that, what God did in the ministry of Brother Branham. In February, just now, he was a whole week in Krefeld, and he established a new assembly, a new church, and he didn't even phone me. And this really saddened me so much. Really, it saddened me so much. And one cannot imagine that Paul would have written to three or four churches in Ephesus or three or four churches in Corinth. It was always only one church, one local church. And in this local church, there were elders. In this local church existed the divine order. But only because to this dearly beloved brother were told so many bad lies and slander, and also, I don't want to say it here, therefore he goes his own ways. He disregards what God did in more than 40 years at this place and in more than 150 countries of the earth. He disregards what God has done. I visited exactly 135 countries, and the word of the Lord I carried. And as we found out now, that God also took care of that, that the word is being transmitted now into all the world, that all can hear now. And I'm asking you, can this be found somewhere else on the earth? No, God was taking care for everything, whatever was necessary, so that the divine message can reach the ends of the earth. To me, it would have been enough. It wouldn't bother me if unbelievers or other believers or even the mass medias are putting all kinds of things also in the internet about me and even call me an anti-Semite, and what else is written in the internet. This actually doesn't bother me. But that, what happens among the church, among the called out church, among those who refer to Brother Branham and his message, and nevertheless do not let themselves be fitted into the divine order. And there is really that point at which the spirits are separating. The time of Brother Branham was, of course, sometime over, and afterward came a new time period. We have said it here before. Brother Branham, in all his life, he visited exactly 12 countries. Exactly 12 countries. And I just say now, the message, after his going home, was carried into all the world. And I didn't carry one doctrine, except it is and remains the doctrine of the Holy Scripture. I never preached anything in the thousands of sermons. Not one thing I preached which I had to take back, because I only preached what God's Word says. And God doesn't have to take anything back, but it's a big pain. And in connection with this, the old subject, the ancient subject came up. And to this, I would like to read two or three scriptures to show you that one has to read God's Word precisely, understanding it. The Lord always was asking, have you understood what I have said unto you? Not have you heard, but have you understood the heard things? Were you thinking in my thoughts? Were you listening? Was the word revealed to you as I said it to you? Let me read you the scriptures, which again came to the surface now. And I will just deal briefly with it. 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. Here, from the first verse, Paul answers questions which were given to him. And then he answers the questions about the husband, about the wife, how things are in order. And then we come to verse 8. And then Paul says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. So, this was his privilege. He was an apostle. He was not being bound. He could travel all around. He recommended it to others. Nothing against it. But then we come to verse 10. And this verse was so terribly misunderstood for one's own destruction. And in this, the ladies and gentlemen are living until this very day. Listen closely now. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. And unto the married I command. Then comes quickly the correction. Yet not I, but the Lord. So, now he switches from himself to, and he has the thus saith the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Depart or divorce. It's the same word, divorce or depart. In our time, the divorce by law is just the end of the separation. So once again, let not the wife depart, not divorce from her husband. And now comes the point which was misinterpreted. And for the destruction of many, it was misinterpreted. Wife shall not depart from her husband. But if she departed, past tense, not a recommendation for the future. Not a recommendation for the future. But here Paul writes to the church in Corinth, if the wife did it already, if it has happened already, then she should remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. And this sentence was misinterpreted for all the future. And suddenly it was said, a woman, a wife, can of course separate from her husband. She can live separately from him as long as she likes. Because in 1 Corinthians 7 it is written that if she divorced, then she should remain unmarried. And so to the sisters, we're told, among others, my firstborn daughter, my secondborn daughter, they were told that because of 1 Corinthians 7, they have the right to divorce their husbands, to live separately, because one single scripture, from the old serpent, Satan, it was misinterpreted. And therein is the whole destruction. Since when does God use some women to teach the word? Up to now, God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Satan has thrown out of the divine order, but only those he has thrown out who listened to his voice. Whoever hearkens to the voice of the Lord remains in the divine order. And here, so those who did it already, to them Paul commanded that they should remain unmarried, alone, or that they should reconcile with their husbands. 1 Corinthians 17, 7 verse 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. So one must take this scripture to the other scripture. A wife is so long bound to her husband as long as her husband liveth. One must take one scripture to the other scripture. The same is written in Romans chapter 7. In the second verse, Romans chapter 7, verse 2, I read it to you, maybe verse 1 and 2. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Verse 2. For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. So, God does not abolish the divine order, also not in the natural. Satan puts everything upside down. Satan seduces, Satan deceives and interprets the Holy Scripture into all directions under heaven. And people are going there and they think to have received a revelation from God. God's revelation is alone in this word and nowhere else it can be found. And therefore we believe out of conviction that God's word must restore the divine order, and that all who let themselves be seduced and deceived, if they find grace in the sight of God, that they have to be brought back into the divine order. If not, then let us say it very clearly. If not, then they sin willfully. They are blaspheming God, who misuse the name of the Lord, who misinterpret God's word, and who bring reproach and shame upon the church. One must say it very openly here, so that all know it. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's of course written in verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And then the regulation is given that if a woman prays or prophesies, that she should even have her face covered and not putting her nose up, but really humbly bowing in the presence of God, praying and prophesying. And therefore, the long hair was given to the woman as a covering, as written in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 or 13. So much to this subject now. And brothers and sisters, it would be good if we also in this regard would read the Holy Scripture. What is really written? What is written in the past tense? It is very important. And this verse, last week, I was looking it up in the best Bible translations which there are on earth, Brockhaus and whatever translations are given to me in my office. It's written in the past tense. If it has happened already, then so and so. Not a single time to a sister was given the right after she became a believer to use this word for the future, which is written here in the past tense, and going on her own ways, and by this messing up the divine order. Let us go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1. I just mentioned this so that you remember me in your prayers. The return of the Lord is very, very near. And the bride church must be brought back into the divine order. The wives must submit under the husband, and the husband must submit under under Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way. No own way anymore. No own will anymore. Decide you alone. There is no other way. There is no other way. Otherwise, we will not reach the destination. 2 Peter chapter 1, the very well-known word from verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Brothers and sisters, also we are eyewitnesses of that what is not right now happening on the earth. Eyewitnesses, how Bible prophecy is being fulfilled everywhere and again fulfilled. And one can say it in every meeting, what our Lord said in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, he said, when you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near. And in connection with this, Revelation 19, verse 6 and 7, and his bride has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be clothed in white linen. And this is the righteousness of saints. Brothers and sisters, when I was reading these scriptures, especially about that young man who was collecting wood, and there is written, he did it deliberately. And by this he became a blasphemer of God, because he said it into the face of God, you have nothing to tell me. Brothers and sisters, God's word has always to say something to us. And blessed is the man who is spoken to by God's word. Blessed is the man. Also today, precious sisters, blessed are you if you received the word which is addressed to you, if you receive it without any resistance, then God gives you the grace to live it out. And then comes the blessing into all the family. Blessed are we, brothers, if we receive God's word which is addressed to us, if we receive it without resistance. God means well with us. He doesn't want to put us under yoke. And if under yoke, then under his yoke. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, the church of the Lord will be a word bride in every way. And the word bride, according to the love, according to the word of God, she is brought and led to perfection. And therefore it is written in 1 Corinthians 13, well known to all of us, it speaks so much about love. Although we could speak with the tongues of angels, if we would have all the faith, if we would know all the mysteries, and if we would not have the love of God in our hearts, if this love of God was not poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, what then? Then we are just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And then it's a bit done, this and that, and nothing is behind it. And also this we have emphasized. In this time, we want to have our lamps trimmed. Brother Branham emphasized it many, many times. Now is the time to trim the lamps. Now is the time to fetch the oil of the Spirit and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He emphasized it very much already at his time. God did not wait until the year 2006 to send someone who has to take care of this. But God himself has always taken care for it, that all who hear the voice of the bridegroom, that they really receive it by faith and letting themselves be prepared. And this means that also in the practical life, the will of God has to take place according to the word of God, so that the divine harmony is brought from the marriage, from the family, into the church. That the harmony starts with each one personally, and then with two, and then with the family, and then the whole church. And if we then thus became one heart and one soul, brothers and sisters, when there's nothing against the husband, when there's nothing against the wife, if this all can be done away with by his grace, that no accusation is here anymore, no allegation, that each one has forgiven everyone, just as we were forgiven us in Christ, so we want to forgive one another. And then we come into the presence of God, are glorifying the power of his blood, and the Spirit of God comes down to fill us all. That's how it was at the beginning. We emphasized it many times. At the beginning, the believers were one heart and one soul. No discussions about this or about that. One heart and one soul. And God was taking care for everything. He already, the apostles, the church, everything he foreordained already in his plan. And then it happened. Then it happened by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then the men of God carried the word from the first hour, from the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. There the men of God were carrying the true proclamation, and we can say God brought it back in our time. We were brought back to the beginning, to the doctrine of the apostles, grounded on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. And this is his church, of which he said, I will build my church. The one point is difficult that one mentions it. But for instance now, in Matthew 6:16, after Peter received the mighty revelation from God, he comes to the Lord and takes him by the side so that others don't hear what he has to say. And then he says, this shall not be unto you. The Lord spoke about his sufferings, about his way to Calvary. And Peter comes in that moment under wrong inspiration. And the Lord had to tell him, Satan, get thee behind me. We all must be careful. Each one, from the first to the last one. Prophet, apostles, men of God, women of God, all. We all must be careful that we don't speak out anything what is not in accordance with the word of God. The Lord, of course, could not agree with Peter because he is Peter. No, he had to say what is right. Satan, get thee behind me. For that what you are saying is not of God. He knew, our Lord knew, that he came to suffer. He knew that he has to die for us. He knew that he has to shed his blood, the blood of the covenant, for us, to redeem the people of the new covenant and to make the covenant which he promised in Jeremiah 31. The days will come when I will make a new covenant with you. Confirmed in Hebrews chapter 8. But Peter, in that moment, he was thinking humanly. Humanly, in that moment, is from the enemy, because the thoughts of God are alone in the Word of God. Here alone we have also about the suffering of our Lord. Everything was written. From his birth until his ascension, everything was written, even his suffering, in a special way. Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's how he cried out on the cross of Calvary. We were forsaken, and now he has taken our place. In our stead, he died, so that we can live. In that moment, and in the other moment, God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. 1 Corinthians 13, last verse. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Love never fails. I don't know whether you found out about it. I found out that in the recent times, the love among us believers gets stronger and stronger. Not so. We really feel closer connected to one another. It is so as we would have always been together. And we also will be always together. The love of God joins together under Christ the head. And then we make, as many members, we make up the member, the body of the Lord. And only in the body of the Lord are the various ministries. And all who belong to the body of the Lord, they are submitting to the ministries, as written in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11. Let me read these verses now. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11 of our Lord. It's spoken. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All ministries which God has set are only for the edification, only for the build up of the body of Jesus Christ. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. That's how Paul writes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the purpose is therein, as we are reading now in verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, this is tremendous. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. Yes, it is possible. Possible with God. Possible with all who believe what God has said in his word. Up to the fullness, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we are heading for. God is at work. The turnaround comes. She is the turnaround is introduced, God will not always be mocked. He will restore. He will bring back. He will bring back. He will restore everything into its right condition. That's how he promised it. Then in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness. This is the problem. People are deceiving, seducing, and have craftiness in the heart, trickery, and lying in wait to deceive without being aware of it. Eve, of course, was opening her ears when the serpent was speaking, and he was interpreting what the Lord said. She was just thinking, oh, this is the thing. She was not aware of it. And believe me, all who go out of the divine order, and as we said, and then are giving revelations, I was reading it. A young man, he has written it. He wrote an email. And there it says, in this email says, it says, in Malachi 2, God said, I hate divorce. And then came the next sentence, the woman with the gift, she said that you must get divorced. And then came the question, who is right? God or a lady who has a gift? Brothers and sisters, the thing is very serious. We are not dealing with flesh and blood. The church has been placed now into the final battle. Light is light, darkness is darkness, truth is truth, and lie is lie, and deception is deception. So, may in our hearts be in agreement to God and His Word. And as it is written of our Lord in Isaiah 42, verse 1, that God's well-pleasing was resting upon him. As written in Matthew 3, verse 17, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well-pleased. As written in Matthew 17, verse 5, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well-pleased. Hear ye him. If God shall find His well-pleasing on us, then we alone must hearken to Him. No one. No one has to say something. Only the Lord Himself, who walks amidst the seven golden candlesticks. And then, it is written, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. I'm comforted. Looking up to God, my soul gets quiet and still. And as the Lord God was taking care of, that Israel is again blooming and having returned into the promised land, so God is now taking care of that all who are living in the dispersion, that they are brought together, that they are edified on the holy ground of faith, receiving all the promises, submitting under the ministries. Let us be honest, and with this I'm closing now. Brothers and sisters, what could the prophets for it that God has laid a calling into their lives? What could a Jeremiah for it? As written in Jeremiah 1, I ordained you a prophet from your mother's womb. Where I send you, there you shall go, and you shall tell them my words. All the prophets and servants of God, by a divine call, they were placed into the ministry. Everything else are illicit workers in the kingdom of God. Yes, they are illicit workers in the kingdom of God. The Lord has an order. He has set the ministries, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And the others are then belonging to the group, as we're reading in Ephesians chapter 4, who are using cunning craftiness, who are making a trickery, who are making a deception. And therefore, let us humbly believe the word as it is written, and let us submit under the divine order. Believe it. He will make all things well. He will comfort. He will make all things well unto the day of His glorious return. And I hope to close now Ephesians chapter 3, the last words in Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Let us sing the chorus, Just as I Am.
So wie ich bin, so muss es sein. Nicht meine Kraft, nur du allein. Dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein. O Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm. Und singen wir noch einen Chorus, der mit Komm beginnt. Komm aus der Höhe, komm Geist.
Come from on high, come Spirit of the Lord.
Aus der Höhe, komm Geist des Herrn. Rausche und wehe, oh bleib nicht fern. Rausche und wehe, oh, bleib nicht fern. Göttliches Feuer, falle herab. Du bist uns teuer, himmlische Gab. Du bist uns teuer, himmlische Gab. Alle zusammen tauf aus der Höhe, das heilige Flammen an uns zu sehen. Das heilige Flammen an uns zu sehen. Wer denkt jetzt nicht an Apostel?
Who does not now think on Acts 2?
Was geschah dort?
What happened there? Where was fire? There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and they sat upon each of them. The tongue is the most evil which man carries along. He can bless with it, he can curse with it. He can do this or that with it. He can slander, but he can also comfort. He can strengthen with it. He can destroy with it. He can build up with it. Brothers and sisters, let us today in perfect faith, let us lay ourselves as an offering unto the altar of God, as written in Romans chapter 12, from verse 1, that we lay ourselves on the altar as a living sacrifice, to then prove what the will of God is, namely that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm convinced that that is all our wish. And with this I connect the request to all of you and worldwide, that ye remember me and the ministry and all the brothers who also are carrying the true word of God into all the world. That we may bear our own reproach and the reproach of Christ, and that we do as our Lord did, that he had the reward before his eyes. For the price of joy, he was enduring everything, all the answering back, all the opposition, all the enmity, all the slander, everything he endured. And he accepted it. And then he went to the cross for you and me. Also, we are ready to endure everything, to accept everything, because we were crucified with Christ. On the other hand, we believe that God makes all things well, that he restores everything into its original condition. We're not man's interpretations, but where God's holy word is being heard in the original, and it's being believed, and that it's being lived out. Christ wants to be our life. In him we live and are and have our being. That's how Paul writes it. And that's how it must become with all of us. I just have one question before we pray. I don't know whether, because we didn't have a direct proclamation of the gospel, it was not so as a main subject. But nevertheless, I would like to ask whether some are here to whom God was speaking, who would like to dedicate their lives to the Lord. Doesn't matter of what language you are speaking now. The Lord spoke to us by his word, to all of us, in our own language he spoke. And this is the wonderful thing. That's how it was in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Do we not hear, all of us, the said things in our language in which we were born? Everyone understands the mother tongue the best. And therefore, let me say it clearly, therefore we are thankful to God for the translators who at this place are translating into the original languages, so that all can hear the true word of God in their own language. Now just for one moment, we are bowing our heads. We are remaining in silent prayer. And I would like to ask, do we have, especially the young people who wish to dedicate their lives to the Lord? Thank you. God bless. Do we else have someone? Thank you. Young man, thank you. This is the day which the Lord has made. And I'm convinced all understood everything the right way. I'm convinced that all from today on will bring the work of God even more before God, that we stand together. Not all can travel into all the world. I just, of course, returned from the Far East, Singapore, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and God everywhere. He opened doors. It were not the big meetings, but new contacts were established. And the Lord will take care of that his word runs. And God willing, now on Wednesday, it goes to Latin America. We start with Brother Leonard from Brussels. We start in Mexico. And then we visit a number of countries in Central America, and then also in South America, to bring the word of the Lord. We must redeem the time. It's an evil time. It's a short time. And therefore, I'm asking you directly to remember me more than ever in your prayers. I connect with this the request that you bring before the Lord and that you just say to him, Beloved Lord, the time is far spent. The evening has come. The midnight hour is breaking forth. And as Brother Graf has said, sometimes it's so important. You can read it. The first sacrifice which Abraham was offering, it's written, when the sun has gone down. When the sun has gone down. You can read it. When the sun has gone went down, then the time was here to give sacrifices before the darkness sets in. Brothers and sisters, this word of God is wonderful. It's precious. The same evening, but two sections. Sunset and then till the setting in of darkness. And then the offering of the sacrifice. And Abraham saw the smoke ascending. Brothers and sisters, yesterday we touched upon Matthew 25. And I say it once again today. God doesn't need any man who interprets his word and who causes disorder. God needs people who believe what is written. God needs people who are filled with the Holy Ghost, who are endued with the power from on high. We are all waiting for it, that he endues his church at the end as at the beginning with the power from on high. Now we ask Brother Rus that he raises his voice. He spared his voice today, but today he will pray together with us and we all pray with him. Brother Rus, you are a man of God. The Lord bless you. Pray now. Or say a few words. We have been thankful that the Lord is speaking to us by his word. To whom shall we look or listen? His word, of course, has become a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And he made us worthy to be his people, his bride church. And the time is very serious. But praise and thanks, we are looking up. We are looking forward for his coming. We are waiting for his appearing. We all want to be ready. I wish you all God's blessing. In your homes, wherever you are, at your workplace, wherever. May the faithful God make you a blessing. It's my prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for your precious and holy word. You have spoken to us in a mighty way. And we thank you from the depth of our hearts. You revealed to us everything. You are revealing your plan to your people. You are telling us what is necessary. Bless, Lord, everywhere your children. Bless all who have come. Bless all who could not come. Be with them, Lord. Especially this very sick sister. Faithful Lord. Be with her, Lord. Make her well again. You are the great physician. You can do more than we can ask. But you are the one who can do everything. Blessed and praised be your wonderful name. We pray, be with us, Lord, and lead us again together if the time comes. Be with our beloved brother. When he starts the next journey, be with him, Lord. Make him a blessing also there. We ask all this in your wonderful name of Jesus. I thank you from the depth of our hearts once again for your mighty and holy word. In Jesus' name, Amen.